Welcome back to Bear With Me. The Boston Bruins are now 2-0-0, which is good enough for second in the Atlantic, third in the Eastern Conference, and fourth in the National Hockey League. My name's Joey Capone. That's Rob Tocci. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm too warm because the heat's broken in my apartment. But
it's
other
a problem
than that,
nobody else is having in the whole world. You're the only person who doesn't like being warm. The Boston Bruins won the first two games of the season. We got a lot to talk about. We got roster decisions. We've got new jerseys. We got a first glimpse at the boys, obviously. And we've got some exciting hockey out of the gate.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Feeling good.
Yeah. Well,
and like, I'm not surprised. Like, I'll start by saying that I have been saying even before the season opened that I am quite bullish on this team. Maybe that's a relative thing. I'm not claiming they're going to win the division. I see everybody being like, oh, we're in the hunt for the draft pick again. I'm like, they're really not. Like, they really should not be that bad this year. A lot of that rides on Swayman being Swayman again. A lot of that rides on Hampus staying healthy. Hampus, do you hear me? Stay healthy. Thank you. Other than that, I feel like my audio just dropped. I think I yelled too loudly. Regardless,
there's a million places that we can start.
We could.
I think chronologically, this is where I want to start, is with some roster decisions, namely Matt Patra not making the Boston Bruins. Are you okay?
It hurt. It hurt a little bit. Stand by while I try to figure out my microphone on the fly. It's one of those things that I missed a lot of the preseason. Usually I'm better about watching the preseason. I did not catch most of it this year. I think I only watched like one game. So I cannot say with my own eye whether or not I agreed with the decision, but it's from what I did see, it felt like kind of more of the same with him, where it was like, yep, you're getting bullied in the corner. Yep, you're getting bullied on the boards. Yep, you're taking big hits. And I think anything short of him putting up like at least a few points within a few games probably would have resulted in him not making the team. That feels more easy to say now that I've seen this actual roster play a couple real games and seen like who took the job from him, Minton mostly. So it's like, all right, well, it's kind of hard to argue with those results. So it does suck, and I hope to see him at some point this season. I assume we will. We haven't even seen Jeffrey Viel, Beecher, or Harrison play yet because they iced the same roster both nights, just changing the goaltender. So, yeah, it hurts, but it's like at the same time, I'm like, all right, well, if he didn't make it, he didn't make it. So it's not like it's bullshit. He should have. Like, I don't know that he should have. And
I was shocked just because, I mean, I'm not anywhere near as bullish on the team as you are. And if you just look at face value at, you know, a lot of people have the Boston Bruins in terms of power rankings, 22 or lower. A lot of people have them in the bottom 3 to 5 in like lottery team projections. And you and I talked about whether or not Potsy would make the team. And I was like, you know, it's not a guarantee. And you kind of were like, at the time, this is a little bit ago, we're like, dude, like with the, what's happened with this team, like where the team is at, like there's no doubt. And now obviously he didn't make the team, but I don't think that that's a reflection on like, well, they are a good enough team that they don't need Matt Patra. For me, it feels a lot more like a fit thing. The Bruins have been almost too vocal about their opinion of him, that they want to see more development from him. I think it might point towards like an individual reflection more than like the team is so good that they don't need Matt Patra, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think that's a very fair way to put it. Yeah, and even Sturm said he's like, those players being Patra and the other ones who got cut, they're obviously disappointed, but the next opportunity could be right around the corner. And I choose to hang on to that faith that before long, they'll give them some ice time. But at the same time, I'll just run with the roster we got now, because they've given us some two pretty entertaining games. So
So before we even talk about the games, though, dude, I wanted to ask you about the jerseys, because now we've seen them in action. We got to see both of them. Do you feel any differently about them now that you've seen them on the ice?
No, I love them so much. They're so good. They look so good. Like, yes, I think the aways are better, but I still really do love the homes.
They're both great. I will say I do agree with Pete Blackburn's assessment that the crest is the crest appears slightly too large.
Oh, did you not see about that?
Was it a genuine misprint?
It was. Yeah, that was not that. It's already changed. Like it was just that was not that was like a very brief issue. It was like it was genuinely too big.
Okay, I am glad that that is the case then, because I on the ice didn't notice it quite as much. It was just seeing the promotional photos and whatnot. So I'm glad. Okay, that's actually huge, because I saw that being thrown around and I thought that was just people saying, "Oh, it looks like a misprint." It actually was. Okay, that's great. That changes my whole outlook for the season. I think they do win the division.
It's all it takes, baby.
You want to talk about hockey?
I would love to talk about hockey.
Yeah, it's probably about time, huh? Been doing the show long enough to probably talk about hockey a little bit. Obviously a hot start.
Yes. I couldn't help but remember last season when it started by getting your ass whooped by the Florida Panthers. I think that game ended like 6-4, but it was like six. It really was like a 6-2 loss or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to come out and play against the Capitals, who are like, you know, not like top dog, but like they are not an easy team to beat. A lot of great talent, as we saw, and to have as good of a game, not perfect, far from perfect, but good. And this was like our first true look at a Marco Sturm Boston Bruins team. Like, preseason, whatever, but this is the first look. And I immediately loved what I saw. I thought the energy was great. I think there's a genuine shot first mentality that most of the team runs with. And something that I feel is true about this team from watching both games is that they feel like a genuine blue collar workhorse team. Like, it feels like the energy was really good. Like, two games, sure, but even if you just want to focus on the first game, I think what we saw from them, like energy wise, was so much better. And to say nothing about how much better the power play looks already.
I know.
So much better. Actually, moving the puck efficiently and quickly and with urgency, and remembering you're supposed to shoot the puck when you're on the power play, and entering the zone with numbers and speed. Love it.
You know what they got, dude? I'll say this out of the gate. They got bite. Last year, they had juice. Or they were looking for juice or something. They needed juice or something. Something about juice happened. This year, I think it's bite. They got some bite to them. They got jump. They got bite.
Well, you see what Cam said, right?
What did Cam say?
He called it piss and vinegar.
Yep.
A lot more piss and vinegar, which it's funny because it's like two things can be true. Yes, a lack of that was a big problem in the playoffs, especially when you're playing the Florida Panthers. So, yes, you need that. But also, it's like, we also, like, we're taking four shots a game for a lot of last season. So unless you're pissing on the net, we're going to need more than that. But
yeah, how about we piss and vinegar some pucks on net, boys?
There it is. Yeah. We got it.
You kind of nailed it with the blue collar thing. I think Cam Neely really does think, I mean, everybody in the front office thinks that if you just have a little more grit, we'd win the cup every year. If you just played a little tougher. If they did, back in my day, we didn't wear helmets and we would have won the cup. That's cool and all. It's nice to see that judging off these first two games, that Marco Sturm's not taking the same approach and being like, well, if you just play with some fucking hot boys. And there does seem to be like a genuine change in pace. Like you said, approach to the power play, puck movement. It just feels faster, feels more efficient, and that's more than just heart and bite and all that. That seems like a philosophical approach that is a little more offensive minded. And when you don't have the offensive threats that you would like to have on your team, you're going to have to generate secondary scoring, and it's going to have to come from quantity over quality. That's not rocket science. I wish we did a preseason predictions episode, because I
still can. Post preseason prediction.
Post-preseason predictions.
There we go.
You and I have very different expectations for this team.
Yeah, for sure. I have different expectations than most people, I think.
I would have said, I promise you. I think this team will look hot early on, make us all believe, and then eventually will look like the team that they really are, which is a very top heavy team with few scoring threats. I do still think that that is inevitable, that will rear its head. It's a long season. It's hockey. Injuries happen, and just the season happens. You don't have to lose, you know, Pastrnak and Lindholm for your scoring to level out. But I think it is fun hockey to watch right now, and I am enjoying every second of it. I am also doing everything I can to not change my expectations because they do look really, really good right now, and they're fun to watch. To me, it feels inevitable. Like it will level out. Rising boats, water finds. It's don't cry over spilled water because it's going to level out.
Because the Pope shits in the woods.
Yeah. And if you're too close to the trees, you can't even see the woods.
I'm not inside the trees, Mark.
I'm not in the woods, Mark.
I'm not in the woods, Mark.
It's outside. Yeah, I just think they're going to level out. I just don't want to get my expectations too high. I don't want to get my hopes up, but goddamn, are they fun to watch right now.
Yeah, no, I think it's super fair, I don't say this condescendingly, safe take. Like, it's like, yeah, like it's someone at work was like, well, this isn't sustainable. And I was like, these aren't like back-to-back 7-0 wins. Yeah. Like, these are like, we're going to work hard, we're going to throw the puck at the net, and we're going to hang out in front of the net and bang it in, which has happened a few times, which is how you fucking score goals.
I mean, they went to overtime with the Blackhawks. It's not like they're, you know, massively exceeding expectations.
There's plenty to work on. Like, I have some gripes. Like, Lori, I wish when the season started, we would have seen a noticeable advance in Lori's development to start the season, which it's early, and like he may just be working some stuff out early in the season, but like I haven't really loved his game so far yet. To briefly highlight a few people that stuck out to me in the first game, I'm going to start with probably the biggest one for me. Elias Lindholm looks like a wildly different player. He had a nagging injury last year, right? That was...
I don't remember what it was, but it did come out after that. Yeah, he was dealing with something.
Regardless, we got another Uncle Nick situation on our hands where like a bad first season with the Bruins, then shot out of a cannon the second year. This is his stat line from opening night against the Capitals. He had one goal, one assist, 2 points, 3 shots, a block shot, 5 hits, and he went 13-6 at the dot, which is nearly 70%. That's what you want. That's what he's supposed to be doing. That's what you're paying Elias Lindholm to do. I don't need that stat line every game. I'd take it every game, but he's scoring both of these games. And like, again, like it's like net front. Like the first one was off of that great Pastrnak power play pass and the great Zacha breakout. But like, also it's a really good move forehand, backhand, and finishing it. That's great. And then on the second game, just jamming it in front. Like, yeah, that's what you should be doing, man. And he looks so much faster. And just like it, I'm very excited for him. So, and I think that over the course of the last season, we just collectively wrote him off as an offensive threat because he just wasn't last year. But for him to get back to that, for him to be a 1C. I think that really rewrites the equation for this Bruins team. It's not going to be enough on his own, but that is a huge piece of the puzzle for him to find his game again.
He's absolutely rewriting the narrative around him because I think people had already written off the contract entirely and said like, well, yeah, what a bust. It's never going to be what you expected it to be. He's not going to be the guy. I mean, I'll tell you, I don't think I heard many people talking about expecting a bounce back year. I think it was like expectations had become what they had become and they had tampered and it was okay. Elias Lindholm will hopefully maybe be, 70% of what you expected him to be. If he's able to just completely step into that 1C role, I don't want to say it's game changing because it doesn't change the fact that like, you're still top heavy, but if you make that top a little heavier, is that a bad thing? That's not. Why am I so fixated on similes and metaphors?
You're feeling whimsical today. I don't know.
Am I? Am I though? Am I whimsical?
No.
No, not really. That being said, another guy who probably deserves a bit of our attention is, I don't know, maybe the 21-year-old kid who came over from Toronto who scored the game-winning overtime goal for Fraserman. Give it up for him, folks. Give it up!
Thank you, Mittens. Thank you, Brandon Carlo. Thank you, Toronto. Glad it's working out for both sides. No, I'm not. I wish it was not working out for Toronto. I'm glad it's working out for us. I can say that with confidence.
Glad it's working out for me.
Man, I like Mitten, man. It's super easy to say after that game winner, but like, yeah, man, like this, it's just like another thing. What? All right, so something, I might have talked about this in the last episode we did. When I keep talking to people about this team, I keep just saying this whole season's a coin toss. It's a series of coin tosses. I mean, isn't it always, but way more this year, because it's usually there's like a sense of like, well, we know who this team is, we know the identity, like we know what to expect, so you can predict they'd do about this well. But it's like this year, it's like Will Swayman. I'm going to sound like I'm wrapping up like a show. Will Swayman bounce back? Will Elias score again? And then it's like, what about the young guys? It's like, is Minton going to produce? Like, are you?
Is Minton going to produce?
Is a piece of toast? Is Geeky going to continue to produce with Pasternak? Like, is Hampus going to stay healthy? He's fine. He's fine. Spoiler: he'll be fine. McAvoy coming off of not a rehab summer, but a full, like, just training summer for the first time in a while, which he's stoked about. Can Zadorov continue to play well? Because he did improve quite a lot by the end of last season. I was like the most vocal, like I tweeted, said I would trade him for expired milk at one point. But these last two games, that, how cool is it having a dude who's 6'7", 255, and he fucking plays like it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the, because there were so many times last year that it was like, dude, can you be Nikita Zadorov, please?
Yeah.
Can you stop playing like, I don't know, Mason Lowry and play like Nikita Zadorov? That's absolutely game changing. Honestly, strictly from an entertainment standpoint, too, is like you have that guy, you want to use that guy, and awareness on the ice. It completely changes how your opponents play against you when you have a guy who throws his weight around and there's no shortage of the weight on the other side. It entirely changes how you are played against.
And he's only taken one penalty so far.
Yeah.
Well, which is pretty good. Give him time.
I think the problem with the coin flip thing is once you get past one coin flip, you know, because 50-50 odds are 50-50 odds.
But then it's 1-4 and then 1-8. So that's
how parlays work, is like you're not just betting on these things to happen. You're betting on all of them to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the problem.
To actually wrap up what I was going to mean to wrap up with that. I don't need them all to hit. The full piece of what I was gonna say is there's a lot of coin tosses and they just need some to most of them to hit. At least the big ones. Swayman is the linchpin this season. Everybody knows it. If Swayman can be Swayman again, if last year was a fluke and he plays as well as he did in the opening night, because he played really fucking well, and as well as Korpisalo did in the second night too, that gets you like 80% of the way to the playoffs with this team. Like it's like, because Sturm is like clearly very defensively minded, and his big emphasis is like it's defense, but the moment we get that puck, like full tilt transition, go, which I love, because you kind of get the best of both worlds. Yes, Joe,
can we talk about Korpisalo for a minute?
Yeah, let's fuck it, there's no structure here. Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, who gives a shit? It's our show, we can do what we want.
Cry right now.
The fire Korpisalo came out with. Dude, doing his best Timmy impression. Dude was looking for the smoke. Dude was in the fire tower looking for smoke.
Dude, there was two different times where I was like, Korpisalo is about to do something to make the other goalie come down the ice.
Yeah.
Like, I really was like, not expecting a goalie fight, but I was expecting a red line appearance at some point from the other end.
Like, think about that identity. Like, you know, the Bruins goalie tandem has, you know, obviously in recent years been a major point of focus. But if your two goaltenders' identities are the Jeremy Swayman of old, it's like Vezina candidate Swayman, and trying to fight the other team every night, Korpisalo. How fucking cool is that?
I love it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Will that be the case? Tune in next week to find out.
Will Corpusalo slap a bitch? I mean, because we're talking about him, I really just want to briefly point out that OT save, because that was fucking bonkers. I think he got it with the stick.
Yeah.
Last season, that's the game ender. Last season, Lindholm puts the puck in our own net, like he almost did in the first game when he skated it through the crease. Which, if your name is not Charlie McAvoy and you're a defenseman, please do not carry the puck through the crease. No. I mean, Lindholm's a great puck handler too, but no, not right there. He wasn't. Also, some people that caught my eye: Arvidsson, fast, dynamic. Fast. And like, you know, more noticeable, I mean, pretty noticeable in both games, that move in the second game against the Blackhawks. Whoo, the dipsy do to set up that first goal. Yeah. And like, that's like another thing. It's like Arvidsson coming over. It's like there's a lot of like new guys. I truly, more than ever in my Bruins fandom, am experiencing like watching these games and being like, I don't know who the fuck these people are. Like, I'm looking at all these numbers. I'm like, what? Who are you? Mm-hmm. Tell you, well, one thing that I cannot wrap my head around is
this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a lot of moves and like a lot of the vet, not a lot, but some of the vets are gone. And yeah. Something that's going to take me a while to get used to is Peak wearing 26. Because, and what's so weird is when I see 52, I'm like, that's Corrali. I know it's Corrali. But when I see 26, I'm like, what? Why is there a forward playing defense? I'm like, oh, no. 26 is not a defenseman number, I don't think. I think the heart of this is.
Yeah, number 14 doesn't go on the point, nor does 26.
No, I don't care for that.
Yeah, it's a little gross.
Also, and another thing for Fraser Minton real quick is that he led all forwards in shorthanded time on ice in the opening game, which 358. That's trust. That's trust, man.
Trust, big trust.
Yeah, big time.
From a guy who's, you know, offense first. Let me just say on the OT goal, well, before we can entirely close the book on Fraser Minton and before we say goodbye to Fraser Minton.
We had a good run.
Yeah, he was awesome, man. I'll never forget him.
Who?
The balls to take that shot and that 2-on-1 with, I think it was Elias Lindholm, right?
I'll double check. You can keep talking.
I'm 90% sure it was Lindholm that was with him. And to, in that moment, game on your stick, say, you know what? Yeah.
I have an idea.
What if I scored the goal right now on the game?
Sneaky, which, I mean, that's you're on a 2-on-0 or 2-on, was it a 2-on-1? 2-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the pass, like, was not really, Vlasic was, like, not really taking away the pass there fully, which kind of
wasn't taking away anything.
Honestly, I didn't even notice that until just now. Like, no fucking wonder. Like, if anything, you'd think that's all the more reason to pass, and then you'd be pissed, be like, why the fuck did you not take away the
pass? He just didn't take away anything. He just kept giving him space and was even like, more all right.
Point, though, honestly, it's like you have pretty much a good passing lane to Geeky there, who's like almost certainly going to end the game on that shot. And you're like, do you mind if I get this one? Do you
Let
mind
me
if
try.
I, do you mind if I do it to him real quick?
Yeah,
great, sell, nuts, great goal, great Sally, great moment. I was standing for the last 10 minutes of play.
Garden was rocking.
Yeah, feels good. The logo looks so good on the ice. Like, it's, I just get a very good feeling from this team. I think part of that might be Cope. I think part of it might just be me refusing to resign myself to another season like we did last season, because that sucked and I don't want to do that again. It was not fun. It was bad. So, and like, yeah, there's a lot of people, yourself included, like you mentioned, it's like, yeah, I don't know if this is sustainable, but I'm sure as hell having fun. So let's have some fun. I'm like, I'm not expecting a perfect season or like for them to like, you know, be like top five, but I think they make the playoffs. Like, I genuinely think this is a playoff team.
That's stunning.
This team healthy. That's the big caveat. Like, they don't, I don't know that they have the depth to withstand a couple injuries, but I just believe, I texted you, I think they're going to end October at the top of the Atlantic. And so far I'm riding high on that. I'm doing
You're
all right.
You're kind of right.
I'm kind of right. A little bit.
You want to look ahead to the next step in the Bruins Cup run here?
I want to talk about the Blackhawks game a little specifically.
Oh, please.
So I expected, I don't know what I expected. I mean, the Blackhawks are definitely a worse team than the Capitals are, but it's the NHL, so that doesn't always matter.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't love that this went to OT, but like, even when it did, I was like, even getting the OT point, I was like, I feel pretty good. I was like, to start at the season, at least getting three out of the first four, I think that's so good. Against like two of not your best opponents, and like, even just starting the season, like new coach, like it's like there would have been a lot of reasons for them not to win these two games, and they did it anyways. Again, Elias scoring in both is so good. Five shots in both games as well. I love that. And then he's averaging between both games like 68% at the dot, which that's fucking massive. That's so big. Middlestad had a great game at the dot too. Against he went 9-3, but your goal scorer so far being what? Pastrnak, Geeky, Lindholm, Minton, and Middlestad, and Janot. That's a good spread. Those are people you should be seeing Pastrnak score. I would want to see Geeky score. I would want to see Lindholm score. Never mind, twice. And I love seeing Minton and Janot getting on the board, because Janot's was like, again, the like, I'm going to hang out in the crease and we're going to throw it at the net and we're going to see what happens. And they were just so afraid of that last year for whatever reason. So I'm so glad that they are really getting back to the like, fuck it, throw it on the net. Like, I think more often than not, that's a good play. Pastrnak starting the season with four points total right now, 3-1 from his first two games. There's just a lot going on that I like. I will say, for if I want to be negative, because I know I'm being far too positive right now.
By all means.
Not really noticed Joakim Harju, which as a defenseman, not the worst thing for me not to notice. You did have an assist. Again, I touched on like, I'm like, can you do a little bit more, buddy? Like, not atrocious, but like,
there's some positional moments where you're like, why are you there?
He's what, soft what on the stick here? Too.
Yeah, a lot like, of that pokey, a lot of slappy turnovers. Stuff.
Yeah,
on both it's sides like, of the puck, you know. Yeah, even, yeah. He does feel apprehensive to get physical still.
This is true for both games. Good physicality too. The opening night, I mean, Tom Wilson helps you with that a bit when he murdered Isamont. That was such a big hit. He crushed Lori twice too.
Yeah.
Fucking, I hate Tom Wilson so much for so many reasons, but at the top of the list is how good he is at what he does. Because if he weren't, I wouldn't give a shit.
Exactly.
But he is, and it makes it everything so much worse. Rising water, sig salt, Tom Wilson's. We'll figure it out. I like again, that goes back to the blue collar comment I made, that like they're working hard. Like, they're not just like, oh, they won this one because they got a couple good bounces. It's like they for the most part, I've really liked the energy and the tenacity and the bite. Big dogs, big Kevin's going to bite.
Big Kev. Kevin Pastrnak, dude.
Everybody loves him. Everybody knows him. Also, Husanov was fucking flying in that Capitals game. That dude can move.
How do you feel about Middlestad aside from the goal?
Not great. Again, so I think out of all the centers, the softest on the stick. Like, when like one-on-one battles, like, I don't have faith that he's going to win them, which is like the last thing I want out of a centerman.
So I'm glad that you're seeing that too, because I've almost felt I almost felt wrong bringing it up, but you know, non-plussing at the best.
He has my worst attention right now out of all the forwards, I think, which is not, you know, out of two games, it's not that stank eye yet, but it's definitely, I'm like, buddy, can you be a little bit stronger? But all told, I mean, that's something that I'm hoping improves as the season goes along, but you can't argue with the goal. 9-for-3 at the dot, or 9-and-3 at the dot, rather.
9-for-3 is really good. He's 300% at the dot. Yeah,
killer. He's just yanking the puck out of the rest hand. How about Nick Foligno taking that penalty? You see that? Even Brick was like, he's like, at what point is this not the faceoff anymore? Which is like, a very fair point, and definitely what Nick was arguing, being like, man, like, it's not like you dropped the puck and I slapped it. It's like there was a it was a battle for it, and then I hit it. So I'll take a power play anytime you want to give us a power play. Don't get me wrong, but I thought that was funny. There were also talk about special teams a little bit. Five penalties in the opening game, most of which were avoidable. Fucking keep a cap on that. That'll kill you.
Yeah.
Morning Brew touched on this too, but it's like with the amount of penalties they took, it's like the second line barely got to play in that first game because like none of them really play on special teams. Mm-hmm. So all the more reason to stay out of the box. But and then last night, some good tenacity. There was like that little, not a line brawl, but like there was like everybody partnering up, and like we mentioned with the Corpusalo getting really involved. So I love seeing that. Zadora's physicality, again, just to bring that up again, has been so good. Like it's both games he's fucking plastered people. Like there was the rookie he crushed in the first game, and then was it last night that the guy like spun at the last second on the boards? He just fucking
that was tough.
I was like, oh boy, I was like, here we go, but nothing came from it, and I was like, all right, thank God.
Yeah, but I was honestly a little stunned there that nothing did come out of that, because I mean, it looked ugly.
Yeah, that's we haven't seen that fight yet. Kastelic tried to go with Wilson in opening night after one of his hits on Lori, where it looked a little high. It wasn't, but it might have been. But if you're Wilson, it's like, I'm not going to defend my clean hits, like, because I have to defend my dirty ones. And if I start defending the clean ones, I'm never going to get out of the box.
Yeah, my brain's going to be scrambled eggs.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, very just general impressions. But like, I've really liked what we've seen from this team from two games. And I like the way... And a part of that, I like how Sturm is coaching it. I like just the feel of this team. I do feel a difference with this team than last year already. Again, like I'm not going to like start putting money on them to win the cup. But if we're looking for an improvement, I really think we've already seen one take place. So
if you are looking to put money, this sounds like an ad. It's not an ad.
I was saying,
that really, really sounded like an ad.
I was about to cut you off.
If you are looking to put money on the Bruins somewhere, my suggestion would be Saturday against the Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, boy.
Buffalo lost their season opener to the New York Rangers 4-0. Zach Benson, Josh Norris, Owen Power, all injured for the Sabres, along with...
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Thank you. I forgot about that.
Yep. All hurt. The Bruins are -125 money line there. Heavily favored or mediumly favored.
I was going to say that should be higher or lower, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. And then Monday, they play the Lightning, who also lost their opener to Ottawa 5-4. They'll play Detroit between now and then. Do I like the Bruins in both of these games?
I like them against Buffalo and not against Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, that's the smart answer.
That's the easy one. I mean, you're probably going to lose one of these games statistically.
What if they didn't?
Buffalo tends to beat Boston when they shouldn't, though. Like, historically, like, we've lost many a games to Buffalo we should not have.
I could very well see this being like 4-1 at the beginning of the third and being like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. And then Tampa just being a much tighter game where they squeak out a win or something like that. Because that's how they play Tampa. Tampa games are fast and low scoring and goalie shows. And but I am excited, man. Like, I thought it would take me longer to get to jump into this season, but like halfway through the first game, I was like, oh, I'm here.
Does take a little bit. And like, yeah, I'm feeling the same way, because I, especially coming from baseball, there's always this like, you know, end of September feeling where I'm like, ooh, okay, I can decompress, I can step away, whatever. And then the Bruins are just here. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, when did, nobody told me. Nobody told me that they're playing again. And it always takes for me usually like a month to be like locked. And for me, it took about 7 minutes of the first period to be like, all right, you got me. I'm here. What do you need? You know, all eyes on you.
It's fun. It's fun. It's fun to be a fan.
It's good. It's fun. I like
it. It's fine.
It's fine. I got some closing thoughts. Do you got some?
You can go first.
Today. As we're recording, this is Friday, October 10th. The season is 2 days old. It is a Friday of a holiday weekend with the season having just kicked off, and there are zero NHL games today. There is no games tonight. The NHL decided, no, No. Do not watch us.
But how many tomorrow, Joe?
Oh, I don't even know.
I think it's 14 games tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Beautiful. That's great. On College Football Saturday. That's great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the whole thing. The NHL always yields to any sort of competition. They're like, well, you know, the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks, so we can't have a game.
And, oh, no, I'm sorry. It is all 32 teams playing tomorrow.
Oh, 16 games. I was yeah, right. Oh, perfect. I was right, just like my research showed. Yeah, that's nice. Amazing. Couldn't squeeze one in today. It's simply diabolical.
The people yearn for Montreal, Chicago, okay?
0 games on Friday. Good. 16 games on Saturday. One game on Sunday.
Wait, when is this?
This weekend.
Say that again?
0 games on Friday.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah.
16 games on Saturday.
Great.
One game on Sunday.
At 7 p.m.
It's unfucking believable, man. It's unfucking believable. The NHL is going to NHL, and they never let you down. If you are coming in with the correct expectations, which is, I will say, objectively, that the NHL is stupid and doesn't know what they're doing, then you will never be disappointed. They will continue to hit the nail squarely on the head, as they have done here. My second closing thought, Chara, number 33.
Chara.
It's going to the rafters, baby.
Thank you for reminding
January,
me.
What is it, 26th?
15th.
Sure. Chara's going to the rafters in January, the first of a series of numbers that will be added to the TD Garden.
15th.
12th floor or whatever. I don't know.
I saw a great post. He's like, he's the first Bruin who'll be able to hang his own banner.
Yeah, no, they don't even need the rope.
He's going to have to crouch down a little bit.
Yeah. Amazing. I keep forgetting how big of a gap there was between Chara and Bergeron.
I was just about to say, I mean, like, part of me was like, before Bergeron, but it's like, oh yeah, he retired before him.
Yeah, well before him. Yeah. And it is funny because, like, yeah, I don't know. I had the same thought. I was like, oh man, they're not doing like him and Bergie together, Bergie first. I'm like, wait, yeah.
Yeah, like your two captains, like.
Yeah, they each should get their own night.
That's it also. It's
and yeah. Money wise, you want them to have separate nights.
Whoa, what are you implying about the Bruins organization? I'm implying that
the Boston Bruins are motivated by green, brother.
I can't believe you'd say that, man.
I'm going to come out and say it.
Well, it's somebody, I think it was Scott McLaughlin or Ty, somebody asked about Jacobs, about like fan interest about after, you know, the catastrophic season last year. And he was like, well, the waiting list for season tickets is like 12,000 people, and they paid to be there. It's like, yeah, because you're charging to be there, you asshole. Also, it's like, how many of those are companies? How many of those are just like fucking high income people that like don't really give a shit about the team, like in a way that like they're gonna go to most of those games because they really love the team? It's like, all right, we get it. Like, they're like, oh, the fans are losing interest. It's like, no, we're still making money. It's like, that's not what I was asking about. Like,
yeah, it's, well, it is, though. It is what it's all.
Also, June, they don't give a shit.
June Lee, formerly of ESPN, now an independent journalist, is recently compared the growth of sports franchises. He was saying that they're less like your local sports club, and they are a lot more like a Fortune 500 company. I was like, ah, yeah, that's kind of exactly what's happening. Anyway, head on down to head on down to what's the fucking street, brother? Causeway, and yep. Watch the Boston Bruins. If you've got a spare $138, you can sit right up against the cement wall.
You can see everything.
312
from afar.
You can see almost the whole ice from up there. Anyway, yeah, Chara, and you'll have Chara's banner right in your fucking face. You got closing thoughts?
Just kind of more of what I've been saying. Just I'm very, very happy about the start we're having. If you feel you're on the fence with how to feel about this team, why don't you join me in positivity land? Because it's the water's nice. And I could be wrong, and I could be setting myself up, but so far I'm right, so I'm having a lot more fun. I believe. I sent a video to many people last night, mostly as a bit, and I sent it to you as well, being like, oh, I just realized I have like $170 in my DraftKings account. Like, I'm going to place $150 on the Bruins to make the playoffs. Everybody yelled at me. Everybody was like genuinely concerned. And they were like, no, man, like, you got to spread that out. Like, don't do that. Don't, no, you can't do that. Why would you do that? You can't do that. And then like one person was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I wish I was doing it so I could, you would be the reason, but
I wish you did.
I kind of wish I did too, because like I that's how I feel pretty fucking good about it. I really do. Everybody tells me I'm wrong, and I probably am, but I don't want to be. So
what? Don't say that. Don't okay, say that. Okay, that's not true. You're right about stuff sometimes.
I am. Pasternak's gonna do so well.
Yeah. No. You. Yeah. You called that.
What? That Pasternak
doing well.
Yeah, that's tune in to Bear With Me, where you will get predictions such as David Pasternak's going to do well this season.
Yeah, not even like a number or anything. Just he's going to do well.
I think they're going to have fun. I think that they're going to do. I think they're going to have fun together.
And the hot takes keep coming, folks. Tune on in to Bear With Me. Follow us on Twitter at BearWithMe_pod for all your latest updates. And things that Rob tweets from that predictive little brain of his. And you can follow me at Joey Capone. You can follow Rob. Is your name Rob Tocci on
At Rob Tocci. T-O-C-C-I.
Yep. All right. And thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Thanks for watching the beginnings of the miracle season with us. I'm fully on board, too. I'm going to pre-order my ring.
Get me one.
No, and I'm gonna get a tattoo of I don't know, Fraser Minton or something. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for you know,
bearing with me. Perfect season. Ah!